Hey everyone, let's pray. Oh Father, it's an incredible thing that we can call you Father if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, it's an incredible thing that you would speak to us through your word. Thank you that you've done just that, and thank you that you continue to allow us to reflect upon it. Please now, as we engage with you in your word, pray that it would be a time where you do that work of revealing yourself further to us, helping us understand you and what you've done more and what your son has done more, and seeing the sort of response that we should have and responding appropriately. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You probably have that experience where you've been down the beach, it's middle of summer, you've jumped in the ocean, and it's beautiful. You know, the water's just crystal clear, and it's warm, warm, warm. You can stay in, swim around, you can stay in there for hours. You go home, you come back the next day, you dive in the water, and you're like, it's freezing. You know, your breath's taken away, you've got freezy head, the northeast current winds have brought in the cold currents from the deep, and the water has dropped heaps. Now, at that moment, it's generally fairly unpleasant, a real shock. But if you stay in there long enough, what you find is that when you get out, you feel invigorated, you feel revived, you feel refreshed, you feel really clear-minded. I know a number of people have cold showers in the morning for that very reason. Is there anyone at night who has cold showers? Oh, there are a few. This is amazing. I thought it was just sort of old people who, you know, they need that extra bit of waking up so they got under the cold shower. But no, it apparently has great therapeutic powers, cold showers or cold. Jesus' words here in this passage this evening about what it looks like to follow him are really like that dive under the cold shower, dive into the cold water. They're shocking. They should actually take your breath away. They should startle us. But once you actually get into them and reflect on them and realize what he's saying, they actually have a refreshing, reviving, invigorating type effect. They clarify life and they reshape the whole of life in the best way possible. Now, if you're familiar with these words, if you've heard them a number of times, then you can lose the power. You know, you can lose that striking, shocking ability. You might have been around Christian things for many years, been a follower of Jesus. And so the edge and the sharpness of these words, the great demand that Jesus is actually making in this passage can pass you by and it's been blunted for you. But you come back to this passage and a passage like this is like a dunk in the cold river and you're like, oh, it's a shock. It's a reawakening. It's a reminder of what we got ourselves into when we said we would follow Jesus. It's a reminder of the metaphorical contract that we signed when we said, I will be a Christian. And you look at the fine print of the contract and you might realize, actually, what I signed, what I got myself into was a lot more full on than what I think I'm, how I'm living currently today. And wonderfully, every week, there's many with us who are investigating Christian things, trying to work out whether Jesus is worth following. And if that's you this evening, and you have been checking out Jesus, and you have been finding, wow, he does look like he's worth following. Wow, he does look like he is a king who I can trust. He does look like a savior who can deal with my greatest needs. I think I want to follow him. What's your biggest question? Well, I don't know, but your biggest question is probably something like, what's it going to cost me? What's it going to mean to follow Jesus? Well, Jesus tells us exactly what it will mean to follow him in verses 24 and 25. Have a look there. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will find it. Did you hear that? Whoever wants to be my disciple, if anyone would come after me, this is not something for super spiritual Christians, for a second tier Christianity, as if that sort of thing existed. No, if anyone wants to be a Christian, if anyone wants to be a follower of Jesus, then they must, do you see that? Then they must, Jesus says, deny themselves, take up their cross and follow Jesus. And if you want to